Today's scripture reading is coming out of John 14, 15 through 20, and 25 through 27, and Pastor Collison will read the passage out of Acts. John 14. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teachings. My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teachings. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I feel the same way. Let's see if I've got this thing working. Testing. Let's get it up a little closer. Very good. Well, hello. It's good to be here. I like to tell a lot of stories, and I'm going to tell you an old one I've told many times, but it's about this pastor who goes to a hospital, as he often did, small town, and he was making the rounds visiting people, and there was a little old lady in his congregation who'd been there a whole month, and the doctor said there wasn't much hope, and she hadn't really gotten out of the bed in a whole month, and they didn't have a lot to say about how to make her better. But he prayed with her and held her hand, and something amazing happened. She started feeling a warmth go up her hand and spread through her whole body, and she even began to move her legs, and she got her legs onto the floor, and she stood up, and she said, "I can walk. I haven't walked in months." And the whole hospital became excited. Came into the room, and everybody was amazed at this miracle that had happened. They even called a newspaper, and people came and were excited, and all kinds of things happened, and the woman said, thank you, Pastor, for this miracle. And the pastor walked out into the parking lot, got into his car, and said, "Lord, don't ever do that to me again." We don't like change much. We don't like excitement. Well, the day of Pentecost is about God. He's going to make one of the biggest changes in the whole history of salvation. Change happens. And this morning, I am going to try to interweave a few things. Hopefully, it won't take too long. You never know sometimes. Once I get going, it's hard to stop. But we have a little bit about who we are. I want to tell you a bit about ourselves, but I also want to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit and the coming of the Spirit, not only back then, but now, and what it means to us. So let's pray for a moment. Lord, I pray that you would be with us. I thank you for this relationship that's starting today, and I pray for a fruitful one. I thank you for these folks here in this place and how you are up to something. And you're with them, and they are your people, and the privilege of being able to serve them for a time. Be with us now as we hear the word that you have for us. And I pray for all of us, and particularly the one who's preaching, and be with him. Forgive him of his sins, which are many. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture I'd like to read to you today is not the whole, actually beginning, it's before the big event when the Holy Spirit kind of shows up and the whole blows everybody out of the water. Jesus has been with his disciples for 40 days, and they're still kind of under the impression that he's going to bring in the kingdom right then. And so they ask him a question, and they say, is it time, Lord? Is it time? And he says, don't worry about the time. But something else is going to happen. The very Spirit of God is going to come and be with you. I am going to be with you. It goes like this. He says, in my former book, this is Luke talking, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave this command:
do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They still didn't quite get it. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set for his own authority, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from sight.
This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. As I said, we don't like change. Most of the time. Sometimes we do. But God uses change in our lives to bring about some of his biggest work in our lives. C.S. Lewis talked about pain in a book called The Problem of Pain, and he said that pain is God's megaphone to a deaf world. Because sometimes, unless there's something going on in our lives which gets our attention, and it doesn't necessarily have to be pain, but some kind of change, some kind of things that shake us up, we aren't going to hear it. We like things to just kind of be smooth, and we work very hard to get it back that way. But change happens. Things happen. Pastors leave. New pastors show up. You know, the pastor is the temporariest thing. That's not quite a word, sorry. The most temporary thing in a church. Whether a person is there 30 years or 15 or 1, pastors leave if you're here. And that's okay. That's the way God made it. And those of us who are pastors have the privilege of being with people and working with them and for them. But it's a change. But you know, if you read the Bible very carefully, every page is about somebody going through some kind of change. I mean, think about Noah. Big change, right? What about Abraham? Abraham was minding his own business and what is now Iraq. And God says, guess what? You get to pick up everything you own and move to this other place. And it wasn't as though you can get on the highway, and it was a hard way to get there. Abraham had a lot of change in his life, picked up lock, stock, and barrel. Cindy and I know a lot about that. You know, you look back on your life and you go, you kind of intend to stay in places a long time. Well, we were in many churches a long time, but not 15 years. It just happened to be that that's what God had for us. I kind of laugh about it. You know, I was thinking about, okay, God, God seemed to be calling me to interim pastorate, or a transitional ministry. And so I'm looking on the ECO website for possibilities, and there's Haynes, Alaska. And when I began thinking about it and telling people I was thinking about it, Alaska? Alaska? My children were going, Dad, you left Minnesota because you didn't like the cold. Okay. Went to Florida for 6 years. Alaska, God, and I said, well, dear, but one of my children said that, and I said, dear, God has a sense of humor. And God does have a sense of God. One thing about God, God does have a sense of humor. Where do you think we get ours? You know, we think God is just some being up there who has no personality. God, we get our personality from God. That's another term, and I'll get there. So here we are, and we're glad to be here. We like different things, experiences. But I really believe God said go. And so one of the things, I'm not comparing myself to Abraham. So many times in my own life, I've not really wanted to do what God wanted me to do. Abraham actually had that experience as well. But this time we said yes, and it's great. We're glad to be here. And however long we will be here, I know it's hard. You get to know some people and you get attached to them. We'll get attached to you. And that's going to be the hard part about the interim process. But we've had the privilege, and it is a privilege, of seeing what God is doing in many places. And God always is up to something. God always has people there. And I've met so many wonderful Christians in so many places. And it's been a privilege. And I will do that here. And we're looking forward to that. But things change. And so in the Bible, you see change all the time. Abraham, and then there was Isaiah. You remember the first words in the book of Isaiah? In the year King Uzziah died. King Uzziah had been king for like 60 years. They didn't know anything else. And so talk about a change for them. And then over and over, you see these changes. And then God comes along and through Jesus and does something totally different. Now, he didn't change the Old Testament. He didn't get rid of it. Revelation is kind of like a tree. You know, a tree is planted, and then it's still the same tree 30 years later. It's just bigger. Well, that's what Revelation is from the Old Testament to the New. It was just bigger. And so the bigness of God's revelation was that instead of people being located in one particular place, God's people would be all over the world. Instead of people generally speaking one or two languages through the church, God speaks hundreds of languages all over the world. Instead of just a few people like prophets having the Holy Spirit, now anyone who believes, you and me, we have the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's God's personal presence. You know, we're kind of scared. Sometimes we're a little scared of the Spirit because it's that Holy Ghost thing, the Holy Spook of a professor I had called me. You know, we're scared of what the Holy Spirit's going to make us do, like that pastor. Don't ever do that to me again. Don't get too close, Lord. I might have to do something really weird, like serve you. Doing my own thing. But God brings changes to make us grow. And so you've had a wonderful relationship with a long-term pastor. Sometimes interims come in and when there's been a bad situation. But this has been a good one. But there's still kind of a grief, kind of say goodbye. And your session and your leadership has chosen to take the time to think about what and who the church is, and you will take part of that. Isn't just on high, the session going to do something. The session will make plans and do things, the elders, but you will be included as we go through this. And yes, we will move as quickly as we can. You know, Presbyterians don't just assign pastors. Part of the practicality of having an interim is every church needs a pastor, in between pastors. And that's what interims do, but there's more to it than that. But God's up to something, and yes, there is change, but it's going to be a good thing because God is always using change to help us learn. And the second thing that goes along with that is that faith grows, and this is a principle that I really, you'll hear me say many times, that faith grows by looking backwards, then looking forward. Faith always grows by looking backwards first. You know, when we go through difficult times, it's tough, any situation, it's hard to see what's going on. It's hard to understand what God is doing. In fact, pain makes us very egocentric. When we're hurting, we are so tempted just to think about ourselves. And it's fairly natural. I'm hurting, fix it. You know, go to the doctor, pastor. I've had people come to me sometimes dragging a spouse or a child and say, fix this person. Whatever we can, we're egocentric. But God uses that situation to sometimes open our eyes. And only after some time, when we look back, do we sometimes understand what's going on. Have you ever done that? I mean, you're in the middle of something you can't understand in that present situation. Don't know what the future's going to bring, but after a while, look back and go, oh. I'm sure most of you here can look back on some of the most difficult times in your life and look back and say, that time made me who I am today. That happens. I remember in Afghanistan, I had a young kid come to me who had been in love, you know, 20-something, and he was dating somebody in the unit, and she broke it off with him, and he said, oh, chaplain, oh, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be sarcastic, I'm in my 50s, and been married for a long time, and I've been there before, we've all been there before, but I looked at him, and I said, I'll make a deal with you. You come back to me in 4 months, and tell me what your situation is then. Because by then, God will have done something in your life and it'll be okay. And he did, and that was right. He found us another girl. It's harder for young people, and I'm not criticizing you, it's just you don't have a history. So sometimes you have to depend on your parents. I know your parents aren't very smart, but you have to depend on their history when you're younger. And listen a little bit, because they've been alive a little longer than you, and maybe, well, anyway, that's another sermon. So the Bible really is about God looking back on what God has done. Looking backwards to be able to understand the present and have faith for the future. That's what the Bible, but it's also our own history and our own lives. That's how we do that. So the times when you can see what God is doing is to look back. And you know, I really enjoyed walking around and seeing all whoever did the history things on their wall. That's great. That may seem boring to you, but for me, it so much fun. Who's been here, who's done what God's been up to, and the different people. It's been up and down, I'm sure, but it's been really good. I'm almost done, but I wanted to say, you know, in the midst of all this, you know, what the scripture we've read today tells us is that God is with us in the midst of this. You know, Jesus has just said to his disciples in John 14, change is coming. You're not going to understand it. It's going to be hell. It's going to be terrible. In other words, I'm going to die on the cross. You're not going to understand it,
until later. But just know that I am with you. And that never changes. One of the promise of the Holy Spirit being with us is that we're never alone. We're never alone. God is with you wherever you are. In the light, in the dark, in Alaska, in Tibet, in Texas, or California. I'm not sure about them. I'm sorry about that. You'll find out about me that I'm a little bit of a smart aleck. So don't always take me seriously about things. If you have a question, if you have a doubt that's coming out, are you serious? Probably not. Maybe. But God, the promise is I will not leave you by yourselves. I will be with you. That's what he was trying to say to them. It's what he's trying to say to you, to all of us. And in this process, God is up to something. And we have a role in that, by the way. Well, you have a role. God has a plan. God's in charge. God has a plan. But you have a role. And last but not least, I just want to finish up by saying, quoting one of my favorite verses. And that's Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In other words, don't trust your own understanding. Because we begin trusting everything that we know, we begin to grow mess up. Don't just trust in everything what you see. What you see, because what you see and what I see is limited. So don't just lean on your own understanding. Now, that doesn't mean don't stop thinking. Check your brain at the door, but it does mean that be humble about it because you don't know everything. You've got to trust in the Lord with all your heart, don't lean on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him. In other words, whatever you do, God is going with you and acknowledge that He's God in your heart. And then if you do that, it says He will direct, He will guide you. Change is here, change is coming, change is a constant. But God is with you and me and us, and that He will direct our paths, and together we will find what God wants to mean in Scripture. And thank you for us being here. You've got this very kind, and we love advance, and we've been enjoying being here, and hope it's more sunny most of the time. Tell me this is the norm. But I'm enjoying the abnormal stuff for the last few years. And I joke a little bit and said we came from the south and brought all the warm weather. So, but now that we're here, maybe it's kind of but anyway, thank you. And it'll take me three or four or five times around to get names. Be patient. Please. I also tend to lose paper, so if you give me something, there's no guarantee that you'll get where it's supposed to go. I'm just warning. So I've had checks reach my backpack, and somebody gave me a check, and I'm going, oh, 3 months ago, somebody's I've never been able to change that. I've tried. So the best thing for me is email or put it in my box. More likely to wind up or associate. And feel free to email or call or whatever you need to do. And we look forward to being with you for however long it takes for the Lord to do His work here. Be prayed with me. Lord, thank you for these folks in this place. The work you've done in Haines for many, many decades and still doing. And we pray that Haines Presbyterian Church would be right in the middle of that. Your people here. Go with us now. Keep us. Bless us. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. We continue to worship through presenting our offering.
time has come now for us to return to the Lord that which is His. So if the ushers would please come forward.
There is no limit to your power. There is no stopping what you plan. You give us faith to move the mountain.